don't know if you all remember this, but the summer that we moved here, it was hot. The summer of 2012, a heat wave and a drought swept across the United States. Temperatures soared to record highs all across the country. You remember? And I was thinking, where have I moved to? That summer, Columbia set an all-time June monthly maximum temperature, when on June 28th, the temperature rose to 107 degrees. We moved here like 3 days after that. My backyard looked like this. Well, not really, that's Illinois, but it did look like this. You remember it, right? As you know, the humidity can be fairly high here too. So when you step outside, you immediately start to perspire, which is a hint and a sign that we should be taking in fluids. You're thirsty. You need water. Now compare this to the southwestern United States, where it's hot, but the humidity is low. The perspiration just evaporates almost immediately. So you can be thirsty and not even realize it. Your body can start to dehydrate and you don't even recognize it. That's why in the Grand Canyon National Park, there are signs placed along the trails that remind you to stop and drink water. This is one of them. The signs actually say, you are thirsty whether you realize it or not. Our passage of scripture for today comes from the book of Isaiah. Most scholars agree that this particular passage was written during the exile, which means that by the time this passage was written, for a couple of generations by now, God's people have been living in Babylon. You remember, Jerusalem had been conquered, and many of the Israelites had been taken by force from their homeland to Babylon. They are living in exile. The beginning of our passage of scripture is reminiscent of a street vendor calling out to passerbys on the street, maybe somebody at a ball game, get your hot dogs, your popcorn, your soda. Except this street vendor in the passage of scripture seems to be a little bit confused about his job because he offers the people passing by free water, food, and even wine. He says, ho, or hey there, all who are thirsty, come to the water. Are you penniless? Come anyway, buy and eat. Come buy your drinks, buy wine and milk. Buy without money, everything's free. God is offering Israel free nourishment, all they need to survive, water and food, and even some items that they would have considered a bit luxurious, like milk and wine. God is calling them to come home to God and to Jerusalem. You see, the King Cyrus of Persia has recently conquered Babylon. And he has a little bit different theory about how to handle the exiles. He wants to send them home. You would think that they would jump at the opportunity to go home. But they've been in exile so long that God's offer seems a little bit too good to be true. There's no such thing as a free lunch, right? The people have grown accustomed to the oppressive politics of the empire. They're used to being exploited and heavily taxed. Nothing is free, right? They're so spiritually dehydrated, they don't even realize anymore that they're thirsty. In the next verse, Isaiah puts their predicament bluntly. I love the way the Message version translates this verse. It says, why do you spend your money on junk food, your hard-earned cash on cotton candy? We all know, and I'm trying to convince Nate, that junk food tastes good, but it's not good for you. It doesn't nourish your body or, in this case, your soul. It's like Isaiah leans across the table and says to them, Hey, stop it. Whether you realize it or not, you're thirsty, you're hungry. You need what God has to offer. Isaiah is calling the people back to God. He's offering them rich food, the hospitality and welcome of God. Isaiah goes on to say in the passage, God made a covenant with King David a long time ago, and now he wants to expand and renew that covenant for the entire kingdom of Israel and even beyond, the passage says, which includes us. God offers the people this incredible deal. Everyone who's thirsty gets water. Everyone who's hungry can eat for free. You don't have any cash? No problem. It's like a grocery store where everything is free. In this supermarket, all those people who normally hold signs saying, "We'll work for food," well, they get to go around the store and fill their carts, and then as they go by the cashier, they can just wave. But the people are so spiritually dehydrated that they don't even know they're thirsty. They're trying to provide for themselves. They reject God's hospitality. They choose junk food when they could be feasting at God's table. Have you ever had a time in your life when you were spiritually dehydrated? Have you ever refused the hospitality of God? Well, during Lent, I think we are particularly mindful of the lengths to which God will go to show us hospitality. God doesn't abandon us to our self-imposed exile. God is always moving toward us. It began at creation. It's evident as God pursues the Israelites and even in our passage for today. And during Lent, we think about how it continues in the person of Jesus Christ, in his life and death, and on the cross. As Marjorie Thompson puts it, Jesus' arms stretch wide on the cross, extended to release our sin, to receive all in love, and to invite us to new life. It's an image of God's mysterious, gracious hospitality. But God's hospitality doesn't end there. It continues today in the church. God still invites all who are thirsty to drink the healing waters. And I was thinking that the two primary symbols of our faith, baptism and communion, are really symbols of God's hospitality. They're images of hospitality. In baptism, God opens the door to the family and says, "Welcome home, my child. We're so glad that you're going to become a part of us." And in communion, God gathers all of us around the dinner table and says, "Eat, eat. I made this just for you." The hospitality of God continues. This week, I was thinking about the hospitality of God. And I was thinking about how surely there is no hospitality that matches God's. Hospitality begins with God. But we are made in God's image. We're called to reflect God's character to the world, right? In our personal lives and in our life as a church, we continue to extend the hospitality of God for the world. And for the past week, First Baptist has been hosting Room at the Inn, Columbia's winter shelter. Our fellowship hall, I think we have an image, has been turned in to a shelter. There have been 47 people every night in the fellowship hall. It's been completely full every night. I just want to take just a moment. I said this in Awakening too, but I just want to say to you all, when we heard that it was going to be sure that we were going to host Room at the Inn, I have to tell you a thought that was in the back of my mind. The thought that was in the back of my mind is, this is a brand new space. We have brand new carpet. We have brand new paint on the walls. We have brand new flooring. And what I was thinking is, somebody is going to say, but they're going to mess up our space. They're going to spill things on the carpet. They're going to ding the walls. And I just have to say to you all, I have not heard that from one person. Yeah. As your pastor, it just makes me proud that you were willing to open the space in that way, and not one person said, don't mess up the floor. So not only have we opened our brand new space, but many of you have volunteered too, and I'm proud of that. We have this incredibly hospitable God whose character we are called to reflect. Hosting Room at the Inn certainly reflects God's character to the world. But I think so does baptizing Lexi Stone today. We welcomed her into the family of God, and we made the promise to walk with her in the way of Jesus. I also think we reflect God's hospitality when we dedicate Merrick and Sam and Crystal, and we make a covenant with God and with the Henleys to help nurture Merrick, to surround him with God's love, to open our arms wide and say, we are so glad that you're a part of the family. In the movie, The Way, which we've been using as one of the images of our Lenten series, Tom Avery is walking the Camino, the pilgrimage from the border of France to the coast of Spain. And at one point along the way, Tom is tired and his feet are hurting, and he decides to get off the trail and rest for a bit, and he heads up the hill to this little bed and breakfast. And when he gets there, there is this long table set up outside, and the table is just filled with food and wine and drinks, and everyone's sitting around it just talking and having a good time. And at first they don't notice Tom, but then the owner of the bed and breakfast sees him, and he jumps up from his seat and he rushes over to Tom and he greets him so warmly, and he says to him, welcome, welcome, we were expecting you. And Tom looks at him so confused, and he's thinking, I didn't make a reservation. And then suddenly Tom realizes that the host greets all the pilgrims that way. It's a sign that you are welcome. So Tom takes a seat at the table with this group of strangers, and they continue their conversation, the eating, the sharing, arguing, and celebrating together. We have this incredibly hospitable God. God's arms are stretched wide in welcome. Everyone who thirsts, come, the passage says. We are invited to reflect God's character, called even. May everything we do as a church say to the world, welcome, welcome. We were expecting you. We are so glad you're here. Are you thirsty? Have a cup of cold water in Jesus' name. Will you pray with me? So God, we are grateful this morning for the stories and images of hospitality that have been shared in this space. We're so thankful, God, that you so graciously welcome us into your family. We have felt your open arms, God, and we give you thanks for that. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to host Room at the Inn, God, for the opportunity to do baptisms and baby dedications, and just to welcome people in to our space, to our church family, and even into the kingdom of God. So Lord, for all these things, we give you thanks. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So we're going to stand and sing our hymn of commitment, an old familiar one. I don't even think I need a hymnal. Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. And as we stand and sing, I'll be here at the front if anyone needs prayer this morning, or if you're interested in following Lexi into the waters of baptism, I'd love to talk with you. Let's sing together.